Coming up this month, we have a tale of attempted genocide of the whole Jewish people, 127 countries, which was really the whole of the inhabited world. We've got a fascism which lurks its ugly head with murder plots and conspiracies, and what some cynics might say was the infiltration of the Jews into the upper echelons of society and plans for assassination. A real murder thriller, you might say. But what puzzled me, already when I was still a teenager, I was in Gateshead at the time, and I went up to a very choshev rav and I asked him, what was the miracle of Purim? I mean, we read the story and there are no supernatural events which appear to occur in the actual Megillah. This happened and that happened and so on, and all things happened at a very nice and tidy time. But when we think of what the original miracles were of Kriyas Yamsuf, when we came out from Mitzrayim, the ten plagues, the man in the wilderness, and we call these miracles. And even as we approach more recently in history, the story of Chanukah, there was the Pashemen, the oil burnt longer than it should have burnt, and there was the Melchama against all odds. So we say Alanisim. Alanisim means for the miracles. So why do we say Alanisim on Purim? What was the actual miracle of Purim? So the answer that I was given by this Choshev HaRav in Gateshead was, he thought for a moment and he said, the Jews were saved. Well, I didn't feel very inspired by the answer, even though it was a correct answer, the Jews were saved. But the traditional answer is that the miracle of Purim was different. The miracle of Purim was a nes nistar, it was a hidden miracle. And Esther, whose name relates to the word nistar, was the one who managed to effectively help put this miracle into play. So it was an nes nistar. But it begs the question, what is a miracle? We could have a whole shiur just on the machshava of defining what is a nes. We know that splitting a sea is a nes. We know that the mon is a nes. We know that the ten plagues are a nes. But in the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabba, Kaftalah base, it says, Borei kamo nisim osa kodesh baruch hu im ha'odom. Come and see how many miracles Hashem is doing for human beings, and that's talking about every single day of our lives. How many miracles Hashem is doing for us. So what is going on here? That the teva, the nature as we call it, nature in its functioning day by day, that is a nes, and that might be the greatest miracle of all. And the Rabban writes in Bereishis Memvov, in Posuk Tesvov, he talks about Yocheved. What an amazing miracle it was that she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu when, at the age of 130. Simple calculation, 210 minus 80. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro, he was 80 years old. 210 minus 80 is 130. So she was born at the time when they came through the gates towards Mitzrayim. So she was 130 years old, and the Torah doesn't even mention it. And therefore, it's like being called an Nes Nistar, because it's not even talked about. And we also know that Avraham Avinu bore sons, many sons, after the 40 years of Leidas Yitzchok. And this, the Ramban writes, the Apella Kiflei Kiflayim. All this fuss was made about he was old when Yitzchok was born, and there were sons even born later. And the Ramban further says, at the end of Parshas Bo, in Parsha Yud Gimel, Tesai, he says, really, in reality, everything that we experience in life is nes. Everything is a miracle. But osos ma'mosim agadolim, edim ne'monim be'emunos habaro v'torah kulo. And these are all testimonies to our faith and our acceptance of our Father in heaven and of the Torah completely. And he says, by having the experience of all these miracles, which are the yesod of the whole Torah, namely, he says, the hanhogas ha'olam, the way the world functions, lemalom min hateva, shekulom nisim ein behem teva min hogo shalolam. Really, what we call nature, nature is a relatively modern word. Nature is something which you don't get in the original sources. Hashem is governing teva all the way along. So we base our faith on Say the Night, on Yetzias Mitzrayim, which were Nisim, and that is therefore why we accept the Emunah, why we have the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But we take it now for granted when the Nisim Nistorim are going on. But can you imagine a child born when we just come out from Mitzrayim, and a month later we're in the Midbar, and we start getting this mon, this bread coming down from the sky. And a child is born there and then, and sees every morning,
except Shabbos,
this mon coming down, until practically the age of 40. So this person will treat that mon coming down as a natural thing, as part of life. Because life was never known to be anything different. And you know, when we talk about those other nisim, like the Kriyas Yom Tov, they just happened in a small period of time, but the mon was over a period of 40 years. And yet that child growing up sees it as nature, as the bread coming down. So what is a nais? A nais can be l'mailo min ha-teva, above nature, or it might be something which is teva itself, but Hashem is manipulating the teva in such a way to make sure that things are happening in a certain way. So when you read the text of Megillas Esther, everything that happened did not go directly against nature, but if we delve a bit more deeply into the Medrash and into the Gemara, we will find that there were events occurring, which Chazal tell us about, which were against nature. And we'll just explore a few of those, and then we'll come back to the subject of Nais Nistar and marry them together. When one looks at the Mamori Chazal and things written in the Gemara, there seems to be one Gemara which triggers everything off. The Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, talks about the Pasuk Vatzmoin Hamalko Vashti. Vashti refuses to appear before the feast. The king summonses her to appear undressed in front of the men in order to boast off the beauty of his wife to everybody present. And she was prepared to come, but at the last moment something occurs that prevents her from coming. According to Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, she contracted tsaras. Tsaras, which we wrongly translate as leprosy, but it was some skin condition which made her feel embarrassed to appear. And then the Gemara says, the Braisa says that Gavriel gave her a tail. Now the word used is zonov. A tail. Now, if one looks in the Oruch as to, this is that, the Gemara dictionary, and looks up zonov, it means, zonov can mean not necessarily a tail mamosh, but it can be any growth or projection which a person has at their back. And in fact, the Me'am Loes translates in the English version a kind of polyp, like a large skin growth which occurred to her, which was embarrassing. But it's nice for the children to talk about a zonov, a tail growing on her. And the question, of course, is, was this a nais nigla? Was it a nais nista? Interestingly, the Rambam says that zonov has the same gematria as nido, 59. That Gavriel made her menstruate at that point, and she felt embarrassed to come. And the Maharal, in his Sefer Or Chodosh, examines the idea of the zonov, the tail, and regards it as what he calls kevedas hateva, something which makes her heavy, which makes it difficult for her to stand up, or whatever it is, and diverts perhaps the literal meaning to something metaphorical. However, there are many, many Mephoroshim who accept the idea of the tail as something literal, and there's a Sefer Ayin Eliyahu which brings down a Medrash from Bereishis, Vayihu Odom Nefesh Chayo, that originally when Odom Arishon was created, Hashem gave him a tail, but later Hashem removed it to enhance his dignity and to make him separate from the Chayos, the animals of the world. And so what Hashem did was that because what she was behaving like in the way she treated the Jewish girls, in making them go around undressed and making them work on Shabbos, and that was therefore replaced to Vashti because of her wickedness. She was punished by being given a tail. And there's a Sefer Nachal Eshkol which is written by the Chidor, who says, in fact, it could have just said Vatamoin Hamalko, the queen refused. Why does it say Vatamoin Hamalko Vashti? He says the word Vashti seems superfluous because the gematria of Vashti, 716, is the same as Gavriel Oso Lo Zonov. Following the rules of gematria, which are that you're allowed to be one out, because I worked it out, it seems to be 715, 716. So you're one out.
And according to the Rambam in his Perush on Megillas Esther, only she saw the tail. Nobody else could see it. Which fits in with the Rambam's idea that it was Nista, that the Gematria of Zonov is the same as the Gematria of Nidot. So it was something Nista which only she could see and nobody else knew about. And there's another interesting sefer of a mystic called the Pre-Eitz Armoni, and he relates the idea of Zonov to the posuk which we're going to read in Parshas Zochar this week about Amalek, Vayazanev b'cho kol hanechash sholim acharecho, that Amalek comes and attacks us and he tries to cut us off. That's the literal meaning of Vayazanev. He wants to destroy our functions, and our important function is of course our head. So Hashem punishes Vashti with the opposite of the head, which is the most superior aspect of us, with the tail, which is the most lowly type, which symbolizes the chayo, and that is an allusion to the Maisa Amalek, which is trying to attack us in this whole Megillah of Esther. To turn us, Amalek tries to turn us into animals for slaughter, like the Nazis used cattle trucks to transport the Jews to the death camps. This is the characteristic of Amalek. So Hashem gives Vashti a tail for treating us citizens so despicably. And when you look at it, the tail is really the mitzvah which triggers off everything else. Because she refuses to appear before the feast, then Achashverosh is advised to have her killed. That puts into play the choice to chance for a new queen, and then Esther is appointed. Esther Baveis HaMalchus helps to save the Jews, and we know the rest of the story. So the tail is really the trigger and the miracle which sets everything else in motion. And in fact, the killing of Vashti, you could say, was not really a natural event. Doesn't one get the death penalty for disobeying one's husband? All right, it's true that Henry VIII might have killed a few wives, but the Chassam Sofer regards the killing of Vashti as something which is not a natural event. It's not normal for a king to kill his wife simply because she says, "I refuse to come." Okay, she was abusive, the Midrash says. She says, "My grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, my father Belshazzar, and so on, they could drink 1,000 bottles of wine or whatever in one day, and you get drunk after just having a small tipsy affair." Anyway, there was all this abuse going on. The Sefer Flor says that the mace happened because of Achashverosh's foolishness. Achashverosh then sent out the decree that every man should be the boss of his household. Leos Kodesh Serebeveso. Wonderful news to all us men. But people were laughing at Ahasuerus because he made such a decree, because they regarded it as a normal thing that the man is the boss of a household. Hear ye, women, you should know this. But he also said that everyone should speak the language of their country. You know, so people were laughing at him, saying he makes decrees which show the Ahasuerus as being a foolish man, so that when he made a further decree about the Jews to be killed, that they should laugh at him about that as well. But the Havlah says that this decree really had the effect of securing all the girls afterwards to come before him, because that way people who are the master of the house will know where the girls are, that they're not hiding, that they will be listening to the master of the house. They will stay at home and they will not go anywhere without telling their dad where they are going. And therefore, Mordechai couldn't argue, "I don't know where Esther is, it's nothing to do with me," because Leos Kolish Sarebeveso. And therefore it's easier to gather together all the girls to the palace as marriage candidates. Now, there's another aspect the Chassam Sofer looks at in terms of what was the mace. What was the miracle of Purim? The Chassam Sofer says, Yivakshul HaMelech, it says in Perek Vayis of Megillas Esther, the king made the rule that all the naros, basulos, tavos, mares shall be gathered before the king. So all the beautiful girls, the basulos, the unmarried girls, shall be gathered together, the betsues kol narot basula, it says again, and he says, alluding to something written in the Monos Halevi, that each girl received an examination to check her status. I understand that Princess Diana had a gynecological checkup before she married Prince Charles to make sure she was able to have children or whatever. Very humiliating, but this is the British establishment for you. And a similar examination took place in the palace of King Achashverosh. that the girls were checked as to their basula status. And this is a big question, because, asks the Chasam Sofer, we know from the Medrash that Esther was married to Mordechai. Lekocha Mordechai lo levas, and Chazal say levas means labayis. He took her in as an orphan, they were cousins, and obviously he can't just live with her as cousins, because in Yechutzel he married her. And if she was married, then why was she gathered towards the king's palace, if she was not a basula? And that, nevertheless, with all the examinations that were carried out, it appeared to them as though she was a basula. And when this happened, Mordechai realized that a nes was taking place. When Mordechai saw that she was accepted for the parade of the basulas, he realized that a miracle was occurring, because she didn't really fit into that qualification. Now, the old sheikh doesn't quite look at it in that way. The Chasam Sofer writes this. In his Perush Al HaTorah on the subject of Purim, he says, Mordechai could see that a nes was happening because she was not a basula, and nevertheless she was brought to the palace as a basula.
How on earth could she marry somebody
else? Well, that is another question for another sheikh. Mordechai advised her that this is going to be to save the Jewish people. And
Maybe he gave her a get.
We're not told that he gave her a get, but the Gemara regards her as Anuso. Anuso karka olompi. The Gemara regards the whole Maisa of Esther as she was forced into it, and she had no choice. She didn't want to marry the man. Who would want to have to marry such an idiot?
But she was
She was Anuso. She was forced.
She didn't.
No, she couldn't. She was queen afterwards in the palace. How old was she? Now that's another interesting question, because the Medrash in Parshas Lech Lecha, not in Esther Rabbah, but in Lech Lecha, the Medrash says that she was 74 years old. And so there is another nace going on here, that she was made to look very young and beautiful. And there's a further Medrash which says that she was ugly, but when it came to Achashverosh, she was made to look beautiful, and this was another miracle which we can put on our shopping list, as it were. 74 years old is not usually the most attractive age, but, you know, wine matures with age and is more nice as it gets older. Now, the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh actually alludes to the fact, the Al-Sheikh says, that if you look in the Pasuk, it says, Vayehav HaMelech HaSestem Mikol HaNoshim. And it's not just the basulas. Noshim is an implication that not only did Achashverosh seek out all the virgin girls, the basulas, he also checked out all the married women, Mikol HaNoshim. Namely, they already were not basulas. But then it says in the next phrase, Vatisochein v'chesed lefonov mikol habasulos. So he gathered together the basulas, but he also did a check on all the noshim, says the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh in his Perush on the Gilas Esther. But nevertheless, says the Chasam Sofer, there was a nes taking place because she was gathered amongst the basulos who were checked. So, then of course the age of 74 we've discussed, but there's another nes. The Gemara Megillah in Daf Yud Amud Aleph, and this is brought down by the Chasam Sofer, it says, Vatihi Esther Nose Schein Beinei Kol Ra'el. She found favor in the eyes of everybody who knew her. Somebody once asked a Hasidic Shereba, how is it that we will all accept Mashiach one day? You've got Satmei Hasidim on one end, and you've got the modern Orthodox at the other end, and you've got the Sfardim at the other spectrum, and you've got so many different aspects of Yiddishkeit. How are we all going to accept the Mashiach? And the answer he gave was, Vati Esther Nosei Schein Ba'enei Kol Ra'el. Everybody loved Esther, whoever they were. Whether they were the Satmar and the Lubavitchers and the Sephardim and the modern Orthodox, everybody loved Esther. So this is the way Mashiach will be one day. So the Gemara Megillah, the Chasam Sofer brings down that we learn out from this Pasuk that she reflected everybody who looked at her. So even to Haman, she appeared like an Amalekite. So Haman liked her. She somehow tuned in with her wavelength to everybody who looked at her, and she gave that appearance to everybody. Okay. That's another aspect of a miracle. Now, we know about the plot of Bigson and Seresh, and Bigson and Seresh wanted to poison Achashverosh by giving him a drink of water, because he would wake up in the middle of the night and ask for a glass of water, and they put a snake in the barrel so that the venom of the snake would poison the water. But
there was a tip-off from Mordechai, as we know, and a tip-off to the king. So before the king came to check the barrel, they removed the snake from the water. And the Midrash says that when Ahasuerus came back to check the barrel, the snake reappeared. Well, there's another miracle for you. Furthermore, then Ahasuerus is approached by Esther. Esther fasts for 3 days and then approaches Ahasuerus, and she's warned, you know, you're risking your life, because if the scepter is not stretched out to you, then your life is in danger. The Gemara in Megillah Tesvov says that there were 3 angels who accompanied Esther. One was to raise her neck to show off her beauty, because she was feeling very weak from the fast. Another angel was to endow her with even more charm than what she had already. And the third was to make sure that the scepter of the king was stretched out towards her by quite a distance, because again, she was weak from the fast, in order that she could touch it. And the Mahashor writes on this, it says, Nos ochem beinov, found favour in his eyes, and the word Nos ot means lifted up, so she raised the grace. So this posuk alludes to these miracles which happened as a result of these malachim who are accompanying her, Batigab Barosh Hashavit, she managed to reach the end of the scepter, because it's stressing that it was just about in her reach. So the Maharal brings in his Ur Chodosh, says that she had a special chaim, a special charm which she never even had before, granted on her in order that she should find favour in the eyes of the king. So as we know, she invites the king to her feast, and the king gets all worried. And this is regarded as like Yom Hadin, the king couldn't sleep, and there is a minhag when we read the Megillah to use the tune of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
The Mogen Avraham brings down from the Maharil that this was the Ikar HaNes.
It's written that the Malach Gavriel shook the ground as though there were an earthquake. In order to make sure the king does not get to sleep, he shook the ground 366 times. Now, I was looking around in the forest and trying to find why 366. What's the big deal about 366 times? And I couldn't find anything, but I looked at the word Shenor, which means sleep. And sleep is in fact 365. So you could say, he wanted to make sure that Lamaila Menateva of sleep, he wanted to go one above sleep to make sure he couldn't sleep, so he did it 366 times. But that's a bit forced. So I did a Google search on the gematria of 366, and up came the word cheshbon. Cheshbon, a calculation. When you do a cheshbon, it's time to do some soul searching. Cheshbon is the gematria of 366. Gabriel was sending a message through to Ahasuerus, start thinking what's going on in your life. And he starts thinking, why is Esther inviting me to a feast? Why did she risk her life to come to me? Why does she invite Haman as well to the feast? Maybe there's an affair going on between Haman. I know, there's a plot to kill me. Big Son and Seresh wanted to kill me. Maybe Esther is plotting with Haman to kill me, and that's why the two of them are coming to the party. And he has this dream, and Haman is plotting to kill him in the dream. So he says, now I understand what's going on. Hold on a minute. Somebody wanted to save my life. I remember once there was somebody who overheard Big Son of Seresh, Mordechai, and he transmitted the message to Esther. So then he got all confused. How can this be? It doesn't make sense. And that's why he couldn't sleep. So, as we know, the chronicles were read out to him. And the Medrash says that whichever page they turned to, because it was one of the sons of Haman who was reading out from the Chronicles, and they tried to turn onto a different page, but somehow the pages kept coming back to the story of Mordechai. Miraculous it was. And the word used is Vayu Nikroim Lifnei HaMelech. The Chronicles were read out before the king, but Nikroim is a passive word, not Koim Lifnei HaMelech. And the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer in chapter 50 says it's written in the passive form. Why? Because the person who was meant to read out kept silent. He didn't want to read out any credit to Mordechai. So a voice sounded Nikroim in a passive way, not from him, to read the story of Mordechai saving the life of the king. Well, another miracle then happened at the feast, because when Esther pointed a finger, Ish Tsar V'Oyev, she started to point at Ahasuerus. The Midrash in fact tells us that Ahasuerus hated the Jews more than Haman did.
But the angel moved her finger towards Haman to point at him. Ish sav oyev Haman harohazeh. And the king is so furious at what's going on, and of course he's had a lot of wine to drink, he goes out in the garden. And what does he see in the garden? He sees what looks like the sons of Haman cutting down his favourite trees in his garden. And he says, what do you think you're doing? Cutting down my favourite trees. There's a tree preservation order on these. This is a conservation area. And they say, do you mind your own business, please? We've got instructions from Haman to cut down these trees. Oh, have you? So Haman thinks he's in charge, does he? And he goes back into the room. He says, I'm going to sort this fellow out right now. But they were really Malachim cutting down those trees. They were not the sons of Haman. And he goes in, and what does he see? He doesn't see the angel Gabriel pushing Haman onto the couch on which Esther is lying. But the angel pushes Haman on the couch so that the moment that he comes in, Haman is in what you might call in modern English a very compromising position. Anyway, and that then leads him to say that he should be hung, and, I mean, Haman was killed, and you could ask, why should Haman be killed? You know, he hadn't yet killed the Jews, he hadn't yet carried out his Nazi plot. Was it a punishable crime? State terrorism? Conspiracy to murder? Okay, yes, but he got a punishment which perhaps was not yet fitting the crime which he had not yet committed. And afterwards, when Haman is hung, Mordechai is reinstated in his place. So it's not that just that the Jews were saved. The Alshich says in his Peirush that the greatest pele of the story is that Mordechai is then appointed to be the High Commissioner, to be the Prime Minister. Not only then are the Jews saved, not only is the edict abandoned and annulled, that the Jews are no longer to be killed, all right, they could fight back, and he didn't annul properly the edict, but they could fight back, and against all odds they fought back and they were okay, but that then Mordechai is appointed as the Prime Minister. This is the way that the miracle occurred. Now the Shemesh Shmuel actually writes in his Perush on Purim that the Megillah is read twice, in the night and in the day, and he says this is because the miracles of Purim were twofold. They were the Nisim Nigloim, the revealed miracles, and the Nisim Nistorim, the hidden miracles. And to reflect both of those, we read the Megillah twice, the Megillah being a Parsumei Nisa, to publicize the miracle. So I'm not going to read out all the texts, otherwise we'll be here for a long time. But he says, Ayot Elonu Mizesh Nisim Besuk Hasheni, She'enon Bittul HaTeva, Elo She'ateva Atzmo Poel. The second category is that nature is working. The Teva, not the miraculous in the Nes Nigle sense of the word. To fulfill Ritzono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To fulfill the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the way Hashem is manipulating things which happen in the world to make sure that everything goes according to His Ratzon, according to His will. We find two kinds of miracles together. Nes min sug harishon, which is against nature, like he says, the stretching of the scepter as one example. And he says that there was an attempt by Haman's sons to rub out the chronicles, and Gabriel rewrote what was in the chronicles, and that the finger of Esther pointed towards Ahasuerus, and it was moved towards Haman, and that the Malachi Ashoris were cutting down the trees of Ahasuerus. These are all Nisim Nigloim which happened. But then we find the Nisim Nistorim, and he refers to the Zohar on this, that the main effect was the Nes Nistor of Purim. Now, the Ramban writes in his Maimar Toras Hashem Tamimo, in defining Nes and trying to come to terms with what is the actual definition of miracle, he looks at Nes Nistor as being the fundamental thing which keeps the world going. And what is it about Nes Nistor, about the hidden miracles? He says that they are lefishah. In two words, he sums up what a real miracle is. He says it's according to the timing. You see, Hashem can do anything. All right, a Nes Nigla might mean like he's pushing the emergency button and then splitting a sea and doing amazing things which are Neged HaTeva. But Hashem can do anything if he creates the world. He can do Nes Nigla, he can do a Nes Nistor. He can do either. So what is it that he's doing? He's doing it at that particular moment. But really, there's no difference between the Neis Nigla and the Neis Nigla and the Neis Nista. They're both the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Hashem is timing it, that it's just at that moment in time that Vashti is summoned and she refuses. And then Esther is ready to fill the gap and she has chosen to be queen. And it just happens at that time that Bigthan and Zeresh were plotting to kill the king, so that Mordechai would then be raised to the stature of being led by Haman, which was the start of the Geula. And that when you look at the events which happened, fascinating that the story is, it's the timing of everything that happened in the Megillah which left a success at the end, leading to the salvation of the Jews. So the definition of the Ramban in Teras Hashem Tamimo is fascinating. And in fact, the actual marriage of Esther to the king, that the man decides to choose the woman. There's an interesting Rambam in the Shmona Parokim, because he talks about, is a man choosing his wife, or is really God choosing the wife for him? He thinks he is choosing his wife, but Hashem knows what sort of girl the man would like to marry, and Hashem puts that girl in his path. The Rambam there is talking about Bechira. Is there free will or isn't there free will? Of course there's free will. Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz miyiras shemayim. Yiras shemayim means there is free will with the mitzvahs. And he says marriage is a mitzvah. So since marriage is a mitzvah, therefore you've got free will in getting married. But nevertheless, Hashem is putting the girl of your dreams in your path, and therefore, although you think it is your decision that you are marrying her, it is really Hashem who is operating the puppet on the string. Well, the Gemara talks about Zug Rishon or Zug Sheni. Is it the first marriage or is it the second marriage? Which this? No, the Mizbeach is crying, it says, when there is a divorce. But that there is a Medrash which talks about Rabbi Yossi ben Reb Chalafto, who is challenged by a Matruna, a cynical woman, an Abikosish woman, who says, how many days did it take your God to create the world? And he said, 6. And on the 7th he rested. And she said, what's he been doing since then? And he answered, he is Mazavik Zivugim. He makes matches. She says, makes matches? I can do that. And she takes 1,000 slaves and pairs them off. She says, you see, there's nothing magical about making matches. Marriages are made down here. And then a day or two later, all these slaves who she's paired off come back to her with their complaints. One comes back with a black eye. One comes back with a broken leg. And they all complain to her. And he says to her, you see, in kalohi beineich, if it's easy for you in your eyes, koshi lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kikriyas yamsuf. It is compared, Hashem compares marriage to like the crossing of the Red Sea. Now, the Gemara there, I think it's at the very beginning of Sota, talks about kam bezivug rishon, kam bezivug sheni, that maybe sometimes it doesn't go well, but then the planned marriage is the second one. All right, it's another topic of its own. But
Arihatni is not a good word. That matters are made in heaven, they don't need them in the other place.
But the fact... Thank you. The fact that Achashverosh chooses a woman, albeit a 74-year-old woman, that she is put into the taste of Achashverosh, that he should marry her, that is a nace. Now, the Maharal in his Sefer Or Chodosh says that the Neis Nista of Purim is really greater than the Neis Nigla. That we like to imagine the Neis Nigla as something which is greater. You know, splitting a sea and all this wonderful thing that happened when we came out from Mitzrayim. He says that Hashem to manipulate events that they are coming through by Neis Nista is a greater feat. And so when Hashem pushes the emergency button, that's the Neis Nigla happening and everything stops and nature is suspended. But when he allows nature to continue, and he still has his way in doing things that he is meant to do, that is something which is much higher. And that is why Chazal say that the Nisim of Purim are regarded as greater than Osidin Nibotel Kalamodes Chutz Mipurim. The Yomim Tovim will not be done away with, but it's written that their meanings will change at the time of the Mashiach for other greater miracles. But the meaning of Purim will live on. Why? Because he says the Neis of Purim is greater than all the other Neisim combined. And there's a further dimension to this. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. The Jews accepted upon themselves the Torah willingly. When we came out from Mitzrayim, and we received the Torah. We had Kriyas Yamsuf. We had these Nisim Nigloim, and what happened? We accepted the Torah by force. A mountain was suspended on us and said, do you accept the Torah or not? So the Gemara said, how can we therefore be liable to keep the mitzvahs? We were forced. So it says, Hodo kiblua b'mei HaShveirosh. And the Gemara Shabbos Peiches says that afterwards, at the time of Purim, we willingly accepted the Torah. Kimu v'kiblu. And Rashi there says, why? Mei avas hanes. Because of our love for the miracle which Hashem did for us. That the miracle of Purim was greater than the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why Purim was stronger for Kabbalah Satorah than Har Sinai was. And so the Nes Nistar is greater than the Nes Nigla. And nowadays we take it for granted when we get the rain. In fact, we moan about the rain, but that's a Nes Nistar. There was no rain in the Maaseh of Bereishis until Odom was created. And he saw the need for it, and he davened for it, and then the rain came down. And the Gemara in Tanis Daf Zayin says, Gadol Yom HaGeshomim, greater is the day of rain, Mitzchias HaMesim, that when rain comes down, that is the sustenance of all life on this earth. That is a greater miracle than Tchias HaMesim. And that is why we should not ever take for granted the events which happen to us day by day, and that the story of Purim is telling us that all the events happen are not coincidences, but Hashem showing us his hand as we function, day by day, week by week, year by year, Ma'es Hashem Hoyos Azos, Hineflos Ba'einenu, that all these things are happening from Hashem, and they're all amazing in our eyes. May you all have a Simchas Purim. Thank you.